Evening, punters, and welcome to another Naked Football Show. Tonight, to talk about the book Ipswich Till I Die, which has launched this very week coming. This very week coming? Next week, even. We welcome Jane Summerfield.
Hello.
We'll talk to our resident playmaker from Those Were the Days, of course, Mr. Phil Ham.
Hello.
And we welcome a naked virgin in the shape of Suffolk Area Organiser for Camera, which is the campaign for Real Ale, Mr. Nigel Smith.
Aye.
So we'll tackle the nil-nil draw at Plymouth, or with Plymouth, the Saturday's upcoming non-too-easy trip to Swansea. And as I said, we'll talk about the upcoming book. And for those fed up with football, we can talk about beer with Nigel. Yeah,
that sounds like a very good idea.
That's like a big competition to see how many more emails and texts we get about beer than football.
We have more beer emails than football. So who'd like to start? Nigel, you went to the game, didn't you?
I did go to the game, yeah.
Go on, what do you think of it?
It was a tough game, and they seemed to fade away in the second half rather dramatically. I thought they looked promising for the first 10 minutes, and then all of a sudden they had a few efforts at goal, and then it all got very soft, and they seemed to lose heart to me. And I mean, Plymouth played well in the second half, and they deserved a point out of it at least. They nearly snatched a win, but I just thought Ipswich were struggling.
So, well, I thought first half we were absolutely all over, but it was a bit like, I think Howard Wilkinson once described playing Ipswich as pushing custard up a hill. and it was a bit like that, because Plymouth just put everybody behind the ball. And the whole game was played in the other half of the field. But we created chances, but we didn't take them, we weren't clinical again. And then, as you say, second half, we rather lost our way a bit, didn't we? And Plymouth came into it more. But I think, Mickey Stockwell, when he's commentating on Heart, as it now is, he's always on about belief. I think that town lack a bit of belief at home at the moment. You talk to people who go to games away from home, and they'll say nice things about Kevin Lisby and how town are playing away from home. You talk to people at home, and they sort of say, who only go to home games, and they'll say, Lisby's been rubbish, town aren't very good. It's a strange sort of split. Jane, you went to the Plymouth game, I believe?
Indeed, yeah.
Enjoy it?
Yes, I did. I enjoyed it as a spectacle. There was a lot of running about, which I would think... Well, some games there isn't much running about, but no, to be honest, it didn't look as if we were really going to dominate that game at any point. And
I think we dominated it.
Well, not to... It was fine up until it came to strikes on goal.
Quality in and around the box.
Indeed, there was a...
We played really well in our own half, didn't we?
Yeah. The Jim McJilton side to side passing was fine, and it all looked compact. The defence looked solid, I thought.
I think defence is really good at the moment.
Yeah, but I suppose we do need that 20 goals a season striker still, don't we?
I think everyone's been talking about it for a long time, really, that we've not got a. And it's interesting to see that Jim was talking subsequently about maybe bringing Rhodes back, maybe bringing Clark back, presumably at the end of the month, because I don't think you can bring players back from a month, can you? Because we haven't got that sort of player like them, or like Franny Jeffers or Fox in the Box type, or like David Johnson was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
None of our strikers are quite fit that long.
I mean, Stead is a good player to have. I mean, he's so tall, and you would think he would be ideal for us, and sometimes he is, and then other times nothing happens, does it really? And the same with Danny Haynes.
But don't you think? I mean, I think that we've got a lot of second strikers. They're strikers who probably create a lot of chances for other people, but probably need that more prolific striker alongside them. Yeah. Now, I assume Lisby was brought in to be that more prolific striker, but it's not really happened for him at home.
Not doing it.
He's not big enough, is he? I know that's a bit trite, but he's easily pushed off the ball.
But away from home, he's played really well.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't hold with this view that we're intimidating the players. I think that's nonsense. I don't think that they will feel intimidated at Portman Road.
Perhaps the North Stand intimidated. They were playing to the North Stand in the second half. We were rather than watching the goal mouth, they'd seen all those fans in the...
linchpin. Then he was, I think, if you look at our defence, someone was pointing out to me today that we're sort of, saying nice things about our defence for a change. But if you actually look at the personnel, it changes almost every match at the moment because of injuries and things like that. We had Campo a few games ago, he got injured. Balkstone's come in, done very well. Much better than he did earlier in the season when he was playing left back and at Southampton he played in. Alex Bruce is coming at right back, which isn't really his position, but we've still done relatively well. David Wright's been back. So it's quite remarkable, really, that we've done quite as well at the back. When people always talk about consistency, and it's not been a consistent back four. Sorry. Insane. Went off on one then.
Oh, no, you carry on, Phil. That's good. Good.
Got another one.
Cool. Right, Brian Gunn wants to know.
He was on last week.
Remember? No, he wants to know. Can he have some more players? He's only got six that he's loaned at the moment. He wants to loan some more.
They can. They've got. They may be Norwich, and we obviously don't particularly like them. But if Ipswich loaned the number of players that they loan, there would be absolute uproar on the message boards and things like that. When I think what they've got at the moment is it's seven.
Well, they reckon six, but they've probably got another one while he came in the studio.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Well, they've tried to sign me on, though. And you're only actually allowed to play five loan players, but players from foreign associations don't count as loan players.
I noticed your hypothesis on this.
So I think one game earlier in the season, they had eight players in their 16 who were on loan, or in inverted commas, on loan from abroad.
They're doing the best that they can, aren't they?
What, with no money?
Exactly. And I mean, to get a draw at Wolves, I mean, that's not too shabby, is it? And they beat them at home, didn't they?
It is.
I'm going to sound like a Norwich fan.
Hold on, don't do that.
It's funny, they do seem to have done well again.
I think it's a siege mentality at the moment, isn't it? There's talk that Ipswich doesn't seem to have that sense of sort of pulling together anymore, and there's disenchantment. I think Norwich are in that typical siege mentality of the world's against us and we'll show you, and they just seem to be pulling off performances, really.
Yeah, pulling them out
with nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Right, that's far too much being nice about Norwich.
Yeah.
You've been on a
pack. It's not going bad.
Right, it's a double barreled one from our favourite lesbians. This is from Lindsay and Lois, you know them, don't you?
I do, yes.
You do.
I don't.
Yeah, right.
So are they sitting at the bar at the moment, are they?
They probably are, knowing them, yeah. This is from first one from Lindsay. This is football related. Spotted John McGreal in the town centre today. Has Jim's old boys policy extended to new players out of retirement?
I think he was actually at a game a couple of weeks ago. Him and Wayne Brown were there together.
Really?
Someone spotted them. But I think John McGreal moved back after his career ended.
Okay, the second one, which is much more fun, because it's beer. This is for Nigel. Are the rumours about the Caledonian Brewery being taken over true?
It's hot off the press, is it?
This is from Lois, because she said, if it is, it will affect the fine taste of my favourite beer, which is Duca's IPA.
Yeah. Well, yes, I mean, takeovers are not good for any brewery. I haven't heard anything about that takeover, so she's caught me out on the hop there.
Okay. On the hop.
On the hop, yes. Hey. Boom, boom. But, I'll have to look that one up when I leave here, but certainly the trade is very volatile at the moment. Anything could happen.
Okay, Lois. Well, if you find anything on the internet, come back to us.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Right, Steve from Sweden. Just been made redundant this week. Do you think there's a job for me at Portman Road? If the panel could make one important...
Is he a 20-goal-a-season striker?
Well, we don't know, do we? We've met him, but he doesn't exactly look like one, does he? But you never know. If the panel could make one important appointment at Portman Road, be it on the playing, coaching or admin side, what would it be? You're allowed to create a new post or replace an incumbent if you wish. This is from Stephen Sweet.
Oh, more complex.
There you go.
I know. Well, Jane, you can have that one first.
Drogba as centre-forward?
That would probably make a difference, yeah.
He probably wouldn't, would it? He probably would feel like a fish out of water.
Yeah. He'd probably
get in a bad mood very quickly, yeah.
Or as my work colleague calls him, how about Robin Ho?
Right.
She actually thought Rubinho was called.
Oh, really?
Robin Ho, baby.
Robin Ho. She picked up my copy of 442 and said, oh, look, Robin Ho.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know, position of Portman Road. I just still think a striker, that was what we kind of were not expecting, but hoping for. I mean, left-sided midfielder, obviously, is one thing we needed, and we're yet to see Mr. Civelli, but other than that, the sort of Jordan Rhodes, but 3 or 4 years down the line type striker, I thought, is what we would probably want, really.
Yeah. I mean, on the news as I was coming in tonight, they were saying that the new signing, the Argentinian, not to expect him in the team too soon. Now, I thought the whole point of making a signing in January would be to get someone in as fast as you could.
The problem with Argentina is that their season runs sort of from February, end of February, so they're in pre-season training when he came over. So if he is the man that they want, and apparently all word from South America is he's pretty, you know, pretty good player. He's kind of probably a better level of player than we get from over here. Touch wood, if there's any wood in the studio. Yeah. So I suppose, you know, that's the price you have to pay if you're buying the player that you want.
So that's next season, really, Ben.
Well, I think probably more towards the end of this season is what Jim said. Perhaps he'll time his entry into the side just right for pushing us into the playoffs towards the end. So what do we think of the chances of the playoffs then? Are we confident or not confident?
No, I'm not. I mean, I'd like to see him in the playoffs, but I think that there's still a lot of big games to come, and unless they change the way they're playing at the moment and get a few more results rather than draws.
It's not impossible,
then,
is it?
Yeah, it's not impossible. I'd always be very pleased to see him in the playoffs. But
I think the thing is you've just got to time... In this division, it's so kind of up and down. Everyone's up and down. Mm. You've just got to time a decent run for the right bit of the season. You just sort of suddenly, you know, if we put it, I don't know, everyone sort of talks about how we haven't won three games in a row for a year and a half or whatever it is, or 2 years nearly, I think. If we could do that just towards the end of the season, it makes a hell of a difference. I mean, if we'd have won on Saturday, I don't know where exactly we'd be, but we'd only be a few points in the playoffs. I don't know, long way to go. Swansea's a tricky one, though, I have to say. Mm. But before we come to that, is there any other on the...
Good blimey, boys.
Come on.
Good grief. You can talk.
I'm keeping you...
Jamie Cottage. Richard Naylor, there's two for Richard Naylor. Richard Naylor is an ITFC legend in every sense of the word. Not the most gifted footballer, but he made up with that with 100% effort in every game. I'll never forget him headbutting a Birmingham player and staying on the pitch as the ref never saw it.
Darren Hurst.
It was my first ever match at Portman Road. I won't read it all out because it's got a quote from the Independent. But if anyone
What's
could
not the Independent?
Nothing. It just goes on. Do you want me to read it? I'll read it if you want. Quote from the Independent. It was a tough match for Mr. Knight to control. After pulling out Martin O'Connor for a foul on Scowcroft, he had a mess to sort out when Darren Purse and Richard Naylor clashed off the ball. The Birmingham players arguing there had been a headbutt. None of the officials saw enough to make a judgment.
Yeah, well, Darren Purse then wrote a letter, didn't he, to the FA. That's the only time I've ever known a player do this.
Oh, right.
He wrote a letter to the FA complaining that, oh, we've got sort of headbutted during this game. And, honest. Anyway, then Naylor got banned. It was absolutely outrageous.
Was it seen on telly? Was it filmed?
It was obviously caught on camera or something, yeah. Well, they just, you know, they thought that Darren Purse was very trustworthy indeed. I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah, I think it's sad to see Richard Naylor going on. In a way,
devastated.
You're devastated. You go as far as
I
devastation.
Would go that far. He kissed me once in B&Q.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, totally unprovoked.
Matron. No, I had been chasing him.
He pulled him down on the ground
he
at the time.
He began to tire.
He was particularly pleased with the tennis story.
He
just
injury,
him.
Yeah. No, I think he'll be a great loss to the club. I really do. He had the right stuff, didn't he? He was...
Totally right.
The sort
attitude.
Of player that we love, you know, and we've talked about this, haven't we? That there aren't many players that we really love at the moment. That we, you know.
Well, you don't hear many people singing about individual players
anymore. No, we haven't got songs anymore, have we? No, that's absolutely right.
But is that?
I think, you know, he always got Tycho when he came on, didn't he? And he was instantly recognised, and it lifted the crowds. You could feel it happen when he came on because you knew he would do anything it took.
Yeah.
Literally.
Kicking Dean Windass up in the air. I remember that one day. That was quite the new thing.
Except in that game not long ago at home when we were winning and then we brought him on and we went and threw it away, didn't we?
Yeah, but I didn't even blame for that though.
No, I wouldn't blame him for that. But
What was that? It was the...
I can't remember.
It was
home game.
Sheffield United.
Yeah.
Wasn't it where they sort of were
reasonably
comfortable. Balls into the box and they brought an extra striker on, didn't they? But yeah, I think, you know, not the most gifted, as you say, but I don't think we'll ever forget Wembley 2000 and his role in that game. And stop crying. Yeah.
Fantastic game.
Oh, wasn't it?
And just generally, I mean, he was a nice bloke and he's a nice bloke. It sounds like an obituary, doesn't it? But, and he couldn't have gone anywhere better for him, really, going to Leeds.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, Jamie continues with, more importantly, I love him for that playoff final goal at Wembley that sent us all off into wild celebration. I think I can safely say on behalf of all ITFC fans, cheers, Bam Bam, thanks for the memories and the best of luck for the future. So here.
The other goal I remember, I think, was at Walsall. I think it was Walsall, and probably in the promotion year. And he, at that point in time, George Burnley always threw him on with about 15 minutes to go when we were sort of 0-0 or 1-1. And he came, and he, in, with about 2 minutes to go, he headed it in, and he just sort of lay on the floor and then winked at the crowd. And it was so, it was so, such a sort of...
Didn't he play on his own up front at Milan?
Yeah, yes, that's a tactical error, I think. Yeah. It's not really that sort of
fight. That's gargantuan proportion.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one that came to mind when I read the report yesterday in the paper about him leaving. Because that was a difficult performance for him, and it's an extraordinary decision to put him up front.
Was
that a personal thing? Wasn't Marcus Stewart available at the time?
I think Marcus Stewart was injured. But I think everyone expected... Well, George had said something along the line. I think George bottled it, to be honest, George Burley. I think he said that he was going to take the game to Milan, to Inter Milan to some extent. obviously not...
in the form of Richard Taylor on his own.
And in the end he played that up front on his own. I wonder whether he kind of...
It takes a lot of guts to try and play them on their own game.
But there we go. But, I think Wembley is the kind of one that most people will remember of Richard Naylor's career, really. Sort of other game. He did score a goal with a broken leg, didn't he, in the Premier League
season. That was a near trifle to him, a broken leg. He did run that off by half time.
Well, that's true. He did play about three games with it, I think, but there you go. What else have we got in there before we come on to the book and things like that?
Oh, right, okay. Jamie Cummings, having sold Naylor, here we go again, Naylor. Very best of luck to him. We haven't bought anyone else in January to replace him, have we sort of left ourselves a bit thin in defence? And he goes on, the players that are gone, going, or aged, Harding gone, Richards going probably in the summer, Casement out on loan and probably going in the summer. Kurt Robinson out on loan, probably going in the summer. Thatcher aging and not on a long contract from what I remember. Campo class but ageing and injured, also not on a long contract. Smith injured and unproven but promising. I think Smith is very promising actually. Bruce probably going in the summer unless he gets offered a better deal by us, which is unlikely, and Vols probably going back to Fulham. That leaves us with McCauley, Wright, Bim and not a lot else. Should we now turn our attention to strengthening the defence?
It's quite a lot of players will be leaving in the summer, aren't they? They'll be money to spend, won't there? I think, I don't think there's any question of that. Marcus Evans' raison d'être of buying the club is to get us into the Premier League, and he won't do that unless he buys players in the summer. So, Kurt Robinson, I wonder whether he might have done enough, or might do enough during his spell at Rushden to stay on. I think he's doing very well there. Who else? I've forgotten what most of that list was now.
Harding, Richards, Casement.
Harding, Richards, Casement, but that will go. Casement, I don't think, is good enough.
Thatcher.
Thatcher's got another year, I think.
Campo,
we've got an option for another year.
Smith, hopefully he'll stay.
Smith, well, he just signed a new contract until about 2028 or something.
Yeah, Bruce.
I think he'll go. I suppose Bruce, I mean, it might be a situation if the manager changes, he might stay. But
you're a bit like me though. I think he's a capable defender and nothing more.
I don't think that
he's got that loved by the crowd.
He is loved by the crowd.
But has he become a kind of celeb of the anti gym?
No, I don't think so. No. I think his performance at Norwich, for example, where it was elevated him a bit, and he does, I suppose people refer to his father and think he's that sort of gritty player, and I think you need some players like that who the crowd want to.
It's true, but I don't think that he's better at centre half than Campo. And I don't think he's, I think potentially, I mean Bauerstein's obviously only played a handful of games, and I thought Bauerstein actually had his sort of wobbliest game in his kind of recent spell on Saturday, because he made two poor errors really. The one he made a fantastic tackle to get back, but he gave the ball away in the first half in quite a dangerous area as well. But I think Valkenstein at the moment, I'd pick him ahead of Bruce.
Harding is a good sort of squad player. I would keep him.
But I don't think I think we've probably got, I don't know, but I would imagine that Reading have paid us a loan fee for him. And he's out of contract in the summer, so I would guess that they're thinking to themselves, well, it's a good bit of business for us. And I don't think that Jim particularly rates Harding. I know that last game of the year at Charlton, he kind of, blamed him pretty much for that.
Well, that was his downfall, that game, wasn't it? He was doing pretty well up until then, and he sort of carried the blame for that game, and it never left him, really.
No, not at all. But Richards will go. I think they're sort of convinced that he's not got the quality that they need. Have we run out of that list now?
Well, I'll go through them again. Harding, Richards, Casement,
Casement, I just think, well, I think the thing with Casement is that he looked a promising centre half in the under 18s, but just hasn't grown. I mean, he's only 5'10", 5'11". I don't think that they think that's probably tall enough for a centre half. He doesn't dominate enough, and he's not good enough footballer to play right back. Although he did set up a goal for Wickham on Saturday. There you go.
Very good.
They don't score many of that. No, they do. Quite well.
Do you want me to keep going with this?
No, we'll go to the book.
Right, hang on quickly. We got one from Ian Holloway.
Ian Holloway.
Yeah, says cider is better. Who are?
Oh,
there you go. That's a poke in the
eye.
Is that
real cider, or is he drinking out of a bowl?
He's probably drinking that gamer's stuff.
Do they still have that Crone cider that they used to have in
Crone still turns up occasionally, yeah.
Blimey,
I mean, there's been a blitz in the last couple of years on Aspel's chocolate cider, which is not real, but it has been very popular.
It's got
realish. Realish, yeah. And that's done very well, and it is very tasty.
But Crone's was just what? Sort of 11% or something,
yeah,
ridiculous.
Crone's the old strong stuff. Yeah,
it's also a disease, isn't it?
It's all organic, organically produced stuff on the borders area, so sort of between Suffolk and Norfolk. So you do see it in a few pubs, but not this time of year generally.
No.
Well, hopefully, when we've talked a little bit about the book, or maybe not this week, we'll get you in to talk about the beer festival.
Yeah.
Well, there's plenty of beer festivals coming up in the next few months.
So, Jane, book. It's out.
Go.
In fact, it's arrived, I believe.
Book has arrived at Felixstowe. Let there be rejoicing.
Marvellous.
We've got a launch next Wednesday at the Town Hall.
With the great and the good.
With the mayor and some players from the football club, which keeps changing. Plus some old players and various people are going to read their excerpts from the book. And then it'll be on sale from Saturday the 14th of February.
So tell people...
We're actually going to be selling them at the football ground a tenner a time.
So tell people who may have somehow missed out what this book's all about.
It's written by the fans for the fans, and it's anecdotes from fans through about six decades of the experience of supporting Ipswich Town. And it's a brilliant read. It's got funny bits and sad bits. And
God, give us a taste of what some of the... I mean, the only one I kind of really know much about is the Shirts to Iraq thing that we did 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, the one that's getting
General
the most
Mark
publicity...
General Mark Stroman,
whatever. The most publicity is attaching to a chap up in Coventry who was brought out of a coma.
Mm.
By tapes of Ipswich Town games and so on, and his mum has written a piece for the book. There's various people written about the Blue Arrow. I think there's a whole book about the Blue Arrow.
Oh, I remember the Blue Arrow.
Do you remember the Blue Arrow?
I do, yeah.
What was the Blue Arrow for younger listeners?
Yeah, it was
I'm too young to remember that.
It was a puffer train, Phil, that went everywhere around the country and had its own radio on it and commentaries. You had to listen to the players talking on the radio and stuff. It's really good.
Struck a chord.
But it was late 60s, wasn't it? Late 60s, early 70s?
Early 40s, I think.
No, it was late 60s, wasn't it?
Even I was only quite young, but yeah. But it used to, you know, if you went to, say, I don't know, Swansea or something on a train, you wouldn't even go anywhere near London. It would somehow go all around the bushes, but it's great.
Mm.
Very clever. Can't do that now, can you?
I've no idea.
Did away with them a long while ago.
Yeah.
It's just a tenor, and it's got loads of stories written by Ipswich fans, and it makes you realise what a special club we are, and that we've got history that many teams can't match.
And I know that the publishers who are Brentford fans, aren't they? They've said that they've done a number of books like this, I think. Aldershot Till I Die, and things like that. And Blythe Spartans Till I Die. Things like,
Chelsea Till.
Chelsea Till, yeah. And they've said that the kind of Ipswich one is the best one that they've ever.
I always thought it would be. I mean, there are so many anecdotes. Anybody you talk to...
There's a lot of passion, isn't there?
There's so much to say. Maybe because there's nothing else to do in Ipswich. I don't know. But it was a rich theme, and some of those stories have been captured, to be perfectly honest, before those people die, you know. Some of those people are very elderly, and we've managed to capture that.
What is the oldest fan, then? What's the oldest tale?
I don't know what the oldest tale that made it into the book is, but, I mean, we've got people in their 80s and 90s who've contributed. So
we're talking sort of pre-professionals and that kind of thing.
Yeah, going right back, and even photos to illustrate.
To go along with it. Yeah. It wasn't Tommy Parker.
Not etching.
Tommy Parker's wife, did she?
Yes, indeed, she did, yeah. Yeah, the publishers went and visited her, and she talked about so much. They said it was just too much. They didn't know what to pick, really. Absolutely overwhelmed by it.
So that's Ipswich Till I Die, which is published by Legends Publishing, I think.
Indeed.
But it's available from www.twtd.co.uk/trustbook, or one word.
And people who've pre-ordered should find theirs arriving in the post any minute.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, you'll be outside the ground
peddling my wares
in the midlife district as
at the platform
until
there.
I moved on for not having a
wares license. Yeah, so that's at the platform game, and probably one or two after and two sell out. But,
and if you've got children at school, every school in Suffolk's getting a free copy
because it's partly funded by the Literacy Trust. Is that right?
And if you apparently if there's enough demand, you're going to try and get a second edition out, aren't you? If more and more people are contributing,
I think we will sell out because we've had a lot of pre-orders and we're giving copies to schools and so on. So we'll do a second run.
Mm-hmm. And are you running all profits to charity?
Oh yeah, they're all charitable purposes via the club and ourselves, community football and so on. It's a non-profit making exercise.
But didn't you say you're actually looking to do another volume as well?
I would love to, yes. There was a lot that didn't get into this book, and I think with a bit of a poke, there's a lot more information.
Yes, so all you have there.
Absolutely. If you've got anything to say, say it. Mm. If there's enough, perhaps we can do another one. We would have to fund it ourselves this time, because the Adult Literacy Trust only funds one.
Right.
But I think perhaps, you know, it would be possible to get funding for it.
Well, that'd be good, wouldn't it? That'd be good.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I think everyone's got one.
Do you want to quickly have a...
.co.uk/trustbook.
Yeah. Do you want to quickly have a look at Swansea?
Swansea. It's not particularly flat.
Is it like to be on, actually? Yes. Weather.
I was going to actually say before the beginning, isn't it one in South Wales? Tell us what the weather's like. We left it a bit later.
Well, the forecast last night was really bad.
For South Wales?
South Wales, yeah.
Because you're going, aren't you?
I'm down to go at the moment, yes. I'm a Des, so I should be on the road Saturday morning, Saturday morning, going down there.
So Skidoo is probably the
I'd like
way
to like to know whether I've got to make the journey or whether I can stay home. Hopefully I made a decision on Friday.
Well, hopefully, I mean, that is the kind of worry, isn't it, with a game like that, whether they suddenly decide. I mean, there was a game, Southend's match last night, I think, was called off in 20 minutes before kick-off, which is ridiculous. But if they do that on Saturday, then we'll all be in the ground, so 296 miles away, from mine, anyway.
Well, a lot of people will be staying over as well, but it's a long way to go just for the game, and a 600-mile round trip.
Any pubs in Swansea?
I'm sure there are, yes. I mean, probably my biggest failing tonight is I never came down with a top pub to...
What's a top Welsh brewery, then?
Brains and Felina Foyle are the two to look out for down there.
Right, there you go, that's all from.
And Brains is basically Cardiff. And plenty of Welsh beer to try down there.
Right, got to stop you now. It's good that we finished on beer anyway. And don't forget the book, everyone. Thank you to Jane.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Thinking about beer.
Don't think, you're not allowed to think. Thanks, Nigel.
Yeah, I'm thinking about beer.
Yeah. Thank you, Phil. Till next week, have a nice one. Take care, everyone. Bye bye.